usually like to get out and point at things, but I will stand here. I want to talk to you today about a relatively new agricultural injury indicator, and I'll talk more about the group involved here shortly. Would like to acknowledge my co-authors, Carrie Tomasalo and John Myman, at Wisconsin Division of Public Health. And a picture courtesy of the Marshfield Clinic's Rollover Protection System program, which cuts big rebates to farmers for installing roll bars on their tractors, just as a reminder of why we're doing this work and looking at the burden of injury in Wisconsin agriculture in particular. So about 10% of Wisconsin workers are in agriculture, but at least by current numbers, the third highest reported rate of injuries in Wisconsin. And because of the nature of farming and small farms, underreporting is a known issue and has been discussed in other sessions here already. The Upper Midwest Occupational Health Collaborative, which I mentioned, is epidemiologists from these three states talking about these issues, what to do, and I want to give a shout out here to Kathy Leidenkugel in Iowa and Adrian Leinsteiner in Minnesota. And it was actually part of Adrian's dissertation work in Minnesota. She looked at these injuries with other sources of data and found that alternative data actually improves surveillance for agricultural injuries in Minnesota. And so our question is, if we pump Wisconsin data through what Adrian designed, would the same be true for us? So that's what we were trying to do here. So we aggregated about 10 years of Wisconsin data. We had a numerator and denominator. Our numerator was hospital inpatient and emergency department data, looking at seven different E-codes from ICD-9. We did not get into ICD-10. We didn't want to muddy the waters on this first round. Looked at probable and possible injuries. More on that in a minute. Our denominator was the American Community Survey from the census and used a multiplier from the USDA's Census of Agriculture to get the number of persons living on a farm and also the people who were working but not living on a farm. Going back to those E-codes, I was not having telephone conversations with dairy, but we have the same two for probable, we have the same two for probable causes of agricultural injuries. Those are pretty well understood. And then a group of possible ones, which are primarily animal incidents and poisonings that seem to be potentially related to ag injury. Our results were roughly similar to Adrian's results from Minnesota. We identified 28K plus total injuries, many of those 89% coming from emergency department records, about 11% from hospitals. And the most frequent causes involved animal injuries, riding animals, and other animal-caused injuries of the what we identified. And as in Minnesota, there's a seasonal pattern that you would expect, the predominant time being May through October for these injuries, and the predominant location being rural rather than urban, 74%. So then we looked at these groups of probable versus possible injury and found that we have a smaller group of probable injuries, 13%, but much more predominantly male. Excuse me. Much more predominantly male, and then the possible injuries at 87%, much more predominantly female. If you look at the counts of injuries, the workers in the 35 to 64 age group were the heavy hitters for the number of injuries. However, if you look at proportion of these cases by age group, it was the workers in the 65 and older group that were more likely to be probable, more certain cases in their age group. I want to show you the results of our rates and a situation we encountered here and what we tried to figure out. Here are the overall rates, and there's a lot of information here, so bear with me. I'll sort of take you through this just by our 10-year period. The injury rate per 1,000 persons, and then this light blue bar is we wanted to see how we were doing compared to what Adrian had found in Minnesota. So the blue bar was her minimum maximum rate for that period that she looked at that we had data for as well. And so we're looking at this and saying, what up with that? And wondering what to do there, we split it into possible and probable rates. and noted the same sort of uptick going on with the probable cases, much beyond what she had seen in terms of hers. And then possible, the range was, there's more noise in the data, but seeing again, once again, an uptick here. And I did a trend analysis, but given the nature of these data, I didn't feel comfortable with using it to present in findings. So we're going to look at the numerators and denominators, and we found an elephant in the room for each, which would possibly explain some of this. So for our numerator, hospital and ED data, the probable injuries looked like they were going up in those last 2 years. Possible injuries, roughly the same or a slight decrease. So you've got this increase in the numerator that we know of happening. If you look at the denominator, this is the ACS data of those living on the farm. And note that's going down. This other line is those working but not living on a farm, roughly consistent over time. But I want to just warn you that these data are coming in and paying into the denominator at only about a fifth of the numbers because of the way it's the denominator is designed. So you've got an increase in numerator, you've got a decrease in the denominator, and you're going to have a increase in the rate during that time. One of the issues we want to deal with, no surprises here to people who are working in this area, is try to figure out what's going on with the sources and contributions of underreporting. We found workers' comp, no surprise, primary or secondary payer in only 6% of these injuries. And so the door swings both ways. However, if you're looking at deaths, and this is what you would expect, we only identified 35 deaths, and that was only 14% of what CFOI was reporting for the same period. So this is not, the methodology is not picking up deaths. But what about other injuries, looking at a comparison between our hospital ED data versus SOI figures? What we got was an annual average of around 2,800 injuries a year with these methods. And SOI's estimate for 2015 was about 1,000 injuries a year. So we think there's probable underreporting in Wisconsin as well. Our conclusions, our results were roughly consistent with Minnesota's, which is good to know. We believe there's increased sensitivity for this indicator despite the limitations of the data, and we think there's good potential for use in other ag states. These are methods that are worth taking a look at. Our next steps, we would like to get into the ICD-9 and 10 comparison and repeat the indicator for 2015 and see how that's looking. One more poster from the ROPS rebate program, and this is a worker group that certainly we owe a better surveillance system to. One more shout out to Adrian for designing this indicator, and Rebecca Adams, our BLS go-to in the state of Wisconsin. Thank you very much. I was seeing those similarities this morning. Yeah, that's going to have to be work in progress. We're just starting to work with workers' comp data. That's the problem. Now, if you would like to send some chart reviewers to Wisconsin, we would be very glad to have the help. I think we're work in progress, and I think I was impressed with the similarities from the presentation this morning, and if we can figure out what proportion of those injuries were actually work-related or not, that's going to be some additional work that would be valuable.
Data and apply that percentage by ICD code
That would be one approach, absolutely. As a multiplier, okay. So if you're trying to get the proportion of people who are living, who are not living on farms but working, you have to multiply it, and then, you know, so the multiplier comes from the census. I'm really encouraged seeing all the presentations that are related to this. I think we're going to iterate to something where we get our best methods together, certainly.